Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Well, here we go again. I know some of you don't want to get into it, but we are into it. That's the reality, and that is the scandal. But because it's an ongoing story, you can get as mad as you want to, but Rick Pitino's in town. They're in court, I guess, today, federal courthouse. We'll have our friend and our ESPN 680 legal consultant, Keith Pointer.
How do you say that in Italian? Consigliere? Or is it consigliere?
It's consigliere, but I don't know. Does that mean consult? That doesn't mean
consultant.
Yeah, no,
that's like right hand to the boss. Like the, yeah, he kind of advises him. It's like Silvio.
Consigliere is an advisor, but especially to a crime boss. So he's not our consigliere because I'm not a criminal.
Yeah, but that's just like slang for like, you know, my right hand.
I can't speak for the other hosts, but I do have suspicions about Rummage.
That illegal gerbil fighting ring he has.
Whoa, things are flying at me here. But it's back in the news, and here's what I was going through. I was going through the writing, a bunch of people writing about it. I was going to say Tim Sullivan, but not just Tim Sullivan. There's a bunch of people writing about it. And here's what I believe. Okay, this is what I believe, and I have some legitimate questions to ask as well. I think we literally know less about what really went on than we do know. I think that and so I give you that as an upfront so that if you hear something that comes out of my mouth now and go, I think that's ridiculous, I'm not going to fight you much. I'll say, okay, well, you might be right because you don't know and I don't know and nobody knows. But the reality is we can only take these little snippets of information that we have and put our own opinion together. And here's my and raise whatever questions we want to raise, because I've got some questions too. Bob Hughes, who's the former trustee chairman, said the full story will ultimately be revealed through depositions and court cases. Let's start with that. I don't know if I believe that. Do you? I mean, I would if we were certain they're going to court and we were certain the thing was going to, go to conclusion. I still am not sure that's going to happen. I'm not sure because, again, I don't really understand completely, what information people have and what really transpired. So you don't know who is willing to negotiate this thing to get it put to bed because they're so terrified that information A, B, or C is going to come out, because I don't know what information A, B, and C is. And frankly, neither do you. You may think you do, but you don't necessarily. So I don't know if we'll ever really completely know. But I'm not belaboring it. I bring it up only because it is in the news again. And it is not ever going to be completely out of the news until the lawsuit with Rick Pitino is put in the rearview mirror and the NCAA says whatever it's going to say, and then you put this whole thing to bed. So, you know, there's wonderful excitement about the football team now. Basketball is looking at a great year going forward. Baseball didn't really miss a step last year. They're fine. The teams that have been good here look like they're going to be good again. But the fact of the matter is, this is in the news and will be until all those things transpire that I just said. Here's what I find interesting. And again, you know, I always give the disclaimer, just say what you want about it. I'm always intrigued that people, and this is what I've tried not to do. Most of you, I think, know, I don't know what Rick thinks anymore because I have not been texting him back and forth. I exchanged a couple of texts early and I haven't really since then, so it's been a long time. I know Tim Sullivan still corresponds, but I appreciated the way Rick treated me in terms of he gave me great respect and great accessibility, and people seem to enjoy our post game interviews. I think we had a nice post game chemistry. I had fun doing that. We had a little back and forth. He would make us a victory drink when they won, a little vodka cranberry juice, which was very tasty. It was fun. So I remember him. When I sent a letter to him when he was the interim coach in Hawaii at a college, I was trying to get in the coaching business, and he was one of the guys to write me back and sent me a beautiful note back. And he worked for my dad. My dad ran the camp. He told me how much he really enjoyed my father. And he got along well with my brother, but he was very close with my dad. My dad took to him for some reason because maybe he was another Long Island Italian kid who was, really determined and kind of a stubborn kid. And so the point being, how I feel about him. And you So I get it. What I'm trying to do here is look at this as best I can anyway, without saying, okay, well, I decided I like this guy, that guy, not so much, that guy didn't like me, so I'm going to filter all the information that comes so that the guy I like is in the best light and the guys that, you know, I wasn't as close with are in the worst light. And there are people who do that. And so what I'm saying, if you do that, that's your business. But what I'm suggesting to you is I find it interesting that if you read what's transpired, you know, that doesn't fit a lot of people's narrative. For example, I'm just telling the truth. You know, this the what was convenient for, I think, a lot of people is the perception that, well, Tom Jurich was a good guy who did all these wonderful things, and Ramsey, the president, was a bad guy who, you know, had all this financial shenanigans going on. And because the single thing that may anger the fan base more than anything about all of this, as I read it from people who text and call the show, is how pissed off they are that Louisville chose to just basically, you know, hit themselves with a bag of hammers and just say, you know, listen, we're going to be out front on this, and most significantly, the self-imposed 2016 postseason ban. And because they decided that Jurich was the good guy and Ramsey was the bad guy, the narrative has been easy to get your arms around. Well, that was the president's decision, which is great because it makes you dislike him even more and makes Tom look, you know, in a better light. The fact of the matter is, evidently, as part of the testimony in Cincinnati at the Westin Hotel, he said that, this is Jurich, said it was his idea to self-impose the postseason ban on Rick Pitino's basketball team. And I'm not suggesting, you know, hey, I'm trying to throw him under the bus over it. I'm just saying this is part of the problem of this narrative, to completely put it in the rearview mirror, is you can't really get your head around who did what and who was responsible for what. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised at that because, I mean, the power that he amassed in his time here way transcended most athletic directors remotely the power on their universities. And so why would we think in this case it would be any different? The president basically did what he did with a lot of things with athletics, which is say, go ahead, you do it. Do what you think's best. And he stepped aside. And so he did it. And my point is, if you're going to be so pissed off that you think that was the most hideous decision, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, well, he was in charge of all these great things that happened, but this decision, which I hate, well, that wasn't his. That was Ramsey's. When the testimony is, no, it wasn't Ramsey's. It was his. It was his decision. So, you know, that is – I wasn't even aware of that. So if you guys knew that ahead of time, well, then you were conveniently ignoring it for the people who chose to just put that on a side dish because they were just focusing on all the good things that happened. So that's a decision that is difficult to swallow now for fans when they look at what's transpired at other places. Also, the guy from the NCAA just absolutely does a brilliant job of amplifying why you'll never make any sense of what the hell they do. And why trying to figure out what they're doing is kind of like a playing golf without any holes cut into the greens. I mean, you can just, you're just hitting great shots, and where's the hole? Where's that? Well, what am I supposed to do? Oh, it's your problem. You take a 6. Oh, it's a 7. Oh, it's an 8. Oh, it's a 9. I picked up, gave myself a 4. That's fine. Well, he did that. That's okay. We can do that. No, you take a 10. That's what it comes down to. Because this is what he said. Just chew on this for a minute. And Louisville, I get what they did, and I'm not suggesting it was right or wrong. I'm just saying it was understandable, which is what I like. And when you look at somebody who does something, you ask yourself, okay, well, this is what I do when I try and broadcast games. If you like it, great. If you don't, I'm sorry for you, but this is my approach. My approach is I try and go to the practice and listen to what the coach said, and then I try to explain to you what I understand him to have been saying, what he's trying to do. Now, if you think, well, why the hell is he trying to make the game go faster? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, that's your business. I'm not going to be his press agent, but I'm going to explain to you that what he was telling his team is, I think the game needs to go faster, and here's how we wanted to try and do it, and that's what I'm trying to explain. So if you watch this play or this set or this series of plays, you could see them doing this or that or the other because this is part of what their game plan was, and I'm explaining to you what he told the team and what I know that his philosophy was for today. Well, it's the same thing with this. The NCAA, the Louisville, when they approached the NCAA, focused on how insignificant the amount of money that was involved in this is. And when you look at it, it's almost laughable. I mean, $800? I mean, they spent like years trying to figure out where the $800 came. They actually mentioned that number in this report. They were looking for $800. Jeez, no wonder they couldn't find it. I mean, $800, the guy probably took it out of his sofa cushions. I mean, how you, so you got, but here's what the guy from the NCAA says. This is just, I mean, listen, and Louisville gets put in a can't win situation by the NCAA taking this approach, which is kind of the lawyer asking the defendant, when did you stop beating your wife? You can't answer that question without incriminating yourself. If you say, oh, Tuesday, oh, so you used to beat your wife? And if you say, well, no, I haven't. You haven't stopped beating your wife? You're still here? That's the same thing. Well, it's the same thing here. They said, this is disgusting, vile behavior. Well, what is Louisville supposed to say? If they say, yes, it is disgusting, vile behavior, then the NCAA says, okay, well, then you're in agreement with us that you should be hit with a bag of hammers. Well, you don't want that. So then the other alternative is to say, well, no, it's not disgusting. Oh, really? You don't think that's disgusting, vile behavior? So they're screwed, because that's the defense that the guy took from the NCAA. Here's the direct quote. Asked about the embarrassing and disgusting behavior, Loeffler, who's this guy alluded to, said, the guy from the NCAA, what's his exact title? He's an assistant, the associate, I thought he was an assistant, the associate director of enforcement, Nate Loeffler, said this. It plays a role, the financial role, the financial value of the improper inducements, but it's not the sole factor. We do look at the act itself and what the conduct is, and there's no set bar or threshold in terms of a dollar value as to when something moves from a level 3 to a level 2 or a level 1. Perfect. It's entirely dependent upon the act. Let's interpret that for you. What it says is, we have no precedents. We have no hard and fast guidelines. So basically, we do whatever the hell we want. That's what it says. Let me phrase that differently, Mr. Loeffler. What it says is, oh yeah, the money's part of it. But, you know, if we just find it really distasteful, you gave the kids eggplant. I hate eggplant. Level 1. And put them on probation. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's part of the problem that they have. And so, I mean, and Chuck Smert is the guy that was also conveniently the guy that everybody says, that jackass. Well, you know what? His job was to craft an argument that might minimize penalties. Jurich's instinct, according to this column says, was to fall on his sword. And he said, and you know, listen, Tom said, I was embarrassed and ashamed all this happened. Okay, good for you. You got a conscience. You should have been embarrassed and ashamed. But all I'm saying is, since we know only teeny fragments and snippets of this, we're free to make our own anger, direct our own anger at people with which it's consistent that our preconceived notion is, well, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy. So think about that. The two things that piss you off the most are the fact that Jim Ramsey supposedly put the postseason ban in place, and that's the one. And the other one is that Louisville didn't fight back. Well, and the fans conveniently ascribe the not fighting back to Chuck Smert and conveniently attribute the postseason self-imposed postseason ban to Jim Ramsey, when in point of fact, both of those things were Tom Jurich's decisions by his own admission. So my point is, if you really want to understand and put this thing to bed, I mean, you don't have enough information, because based on what we have just talked about, think about what the public perception is and how many of these things are evidently predicated on information that has proven to be incorrect. So, you know, that's the thing I look at. And for me, so all I can do is tell you my impression of the thing. My impression of the thing is this, that there were a lot of people who knew what was going on. I don't necessarily think Rick was one of them, though. And that's not just because he's a friend of mine. It's because I really do believe that of all the things that would be trying to cut a corner, this is one that he would say, this is ridiculous. The juice is not worth the squeeze on this. We're not doing this. We're not going to get in some two-bit hooker from the corner to try and – you got to be crazy. So, no, I don't believe he would do that. I'm not suggesting he would do it anyway, and so I'll do it better. I'm just suggesting this does not have his fingerprints all over it. So I believe, and knowing how schools work, I mean, even at the small college level, you know, recruiting, you basically turn over to the guys that are doing it. You got to close the deal, for lack of a better word. You got to close with the player. You got to really persuade him. You got to talk with him. You got to sit down. You got to ultimately make the decision. Can this guy play for you? Can this guy not play for you? But it's the assistants that are really doing the nuts and bolts of the thing. And I think that when you're young, you think you're bulletproof and you can do whatever the hell you want. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just telling the truth. There's a lot of that mentality by kids in this town, because it is not a pro town. It's a college town. So they swing the biggest sticks in town. these players, and it gets to their head. And when you stop playing, as Andre McGee did, well, here's a way for you to still be a big man. I'm throwing big parties. I got people coming in. I believe that would have happened, and I believe Rick would not have known about it. Yes, I do. So now, as for trying to figure out where the $800 came from, I mean, good luck with that. Unless somebody is willing to come up and step forward and say, I got the money from Joe Jablonski. I'll be honest with you, it's such an insignificant amount of money. It wouldn't surprise me if Andre could. People say, how could he bankroll that on an assistant coach's salary? $800? Seriously? But the NCAA was saying was they were not really getting into the money. They were. That's the whole point. What they were saying is you can say, oh, how could you take Katina Powell's word for it? But the fact of the matter is they went in here and said, we corroborated what she said with count, and they list the people's names. I mean, it's a laundry list of players who all agreed. So you say, okay, well, it's sad to say, but I got to think there's some chicken on the bone there. I got to think there's something going on because there's too many of these guys said that, yes, this was going on. But then you get a situation like the Gill kid, who they asked him, you know, did you get money? Were you involved? And he said, no. And then they find out indisputably he was. And they asked him why. And he said, well, I couldn't. If I said that, I might have violated my eligibility. So, yeah, that always amazes me. But I guess it must work, or there has to be another reason why they do it. So I don't know what it might be. But when they ask you at the airport, like, do you have drugs? I'm always amazed, like, that actually gets some people. Like, yes, I do. I have this bag right here is completely filled with all illegal substances that, I think if I can get it to the States, I can make anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000. I mean, who says that? But they ask it. So I guess maybe it does something. I don't know. Maybe there's a legal reason so that if you catch them, they can't say, well, nobody, I didn't know or something like that. You can say in court, we asked them. I don't know. But the thing strikes me as ridiculous. So the same thing here. So. But what I would say is if you're asking players, did this stuff go on, and, you know, eight of them corroborate it, whether it's Al Capone giving the testimony, you got to say there's something about that. So, I mean, I think we know that stuff went on. I think with that part of it is true. I think some of the players' testimony you're going to have to take with a grain of salt, like Anton Gill, states falsely that he had not received cash for entertainment purposes, which Patino's attorney brought up. So, you know, there's some he said, she said going on. But the fact of the matter is something went on, and the school deserved to be punished. But the penalty that is coming out of this underscores how illogical the NCAA is, and that's what makes it painful. So you also got guys who won't cooperate, you know. Shane Bohannon is mentioned in here. They have numerous requests to speak with him. Again, the NCAA does not have subpoena power, so they can't do that like they could for the trial with the FBI. So I just find it the whole premise of the article about Bob Hughes saying, oh, the truth will come out. I mean, if you go to court, then you're under oath and it should come out. But I don't know if we'll ever completely know. So what I believe is something went on. The school deserved to be penalized. I don't think that their approach at the time, I commended it. I did because I thought that I agree. I agree with the idea was, listen, Tom said, listen, I didn't want the NCAA coming in and whacking away at us. So I tried to beat him to the punch, basically, to paraphrase him. And I agree with him, to be honest with you. In any logical, rational relationship, you would think that makes sense. The problem is it's not logical and rational with the NCAA. So in hindsight, the message that comes out of this, which is amazing that the NCAA either doesn't see it or doesn't care, is they're basically selling to the world the message, you might as well just fight us over anything. The smallest little thing, fight us. Just absolutely hammer us. The only thing they have going for them is the thought that it'll cost them less money. It won't cost them less money, but you know they may have more money to spend on lawyering up than you do. But you're dealing with some pretty big institutions here who may say, the hell with it. Well, you want to lawyer up? Let's lawyer up. Let's go. Let's go throw down. I'm ready. Because Louisville got absolutely nothing out of doing what they did here. And it sounds like You know, I hate to say it because it's going to sound like I'm dumping it in his lap, but we want to. We, you know, Tom is the most popular guy of the characters involved in this. Chuck Smert is considered like, you know, the evil, the devil, and Jim Ramsey is not looked at particularly highly either. And in point of fact, the things that people are attributing to them weren't their decisions. A lot of them were Tom's. So I mean, but again, I that doesn't necessarily mean I disagreed. If he said, let's go beat him to the punch, like I said, I would have thought at the time that was the thing to do. But what I'm suggesting is we know so little about what really transpired. People just made their minds up about this guy's a good guy, that guy's a bad guy, and a lot of it doesn't jibe with facts. And I don't know that we're ever going to completely comfortably get the facts. I still am not so sure about that. We're going to talk to Keith Pointer about that a little bit later because I'd like to know what he thinks about that. Because the fact of the matter is, it sounds like there's not much desire to actually find a settlement, and that means it would go to court. But I'm going to ask him, does that mean we get the answers? Do all of a sudden, because they're under oath, now we suddenly have access to things and information that we didn't have before? I don't know. Because like what you're talking about, like the big thing is where'd the money come from? It seems like such an insignificant amount of money, ultimately. You know, they're going to be on a paper trail. Like, you know, when you see these crime dramas on TV, it's, oh, look at this. I found it was a $50,000 withdrawal or $50,000 deposit just a couple of days ago that coincides with when you could find $800. I mean, it's just, I realize it's probably more than that over the series of the events that went on, but it's not a lot of money. So the NCAA does little to bring clarity to it because basically what they say when I interpreted that guy's paragraph is, well, we can do whatever the hell we want. Make a level three a level one. Consider what you think a level one's a level three. So that isn't going to help a whole lot. You know, the things that we thought were the responsibility of this guy were actually the responsibility of somebody else. And there's no way of understanding or speculating on what this latest series of events is going to do for how the NCAA deals with Louisville going forward. And I'll go you one better. I don't know if it does a whole lot to tell you what Louisville's going to do going forward. Eric Crawford has suggested on this program that if they come after them with any kind of penalty, Louisville say, let's go. You're fine. Let's bring it. And you know what? I'm not a person who thought that was the best way to handle it. I told you that. So I will say that, you know, for whoever made that decision in the first place, I thought it was going to serve them well. I thought they would get some sort of consideration for being proactive, but they didn't. And right now, based on the judge saying that the NCAA is not going to have access to the information that they wanted from the FBI, all the crap that's come out and all these guys are still coaching and these teams are unpunished. I mean, I like a lot of the people that are involved in some of those other programs. So it's not like, oh, I would love to see this team get the hammer. I'm just looking at the situation now as a basketball analyst and looking at the big picture who broadcasts not just the Louisville games, but the other team's games. And I've interacted with those guys. And so I see what's gone on. And I think to myself, well, this is a crazy scenario. And if so, the NCAA, to try and show they still have some bite, decides now they're going to absolutely come down and again hit Louisville with a sledgehammer, I absolutely think they should fight back. I mean, enough's enough already. I mean, Chuck Smert in this, you know, it says I would be, I can't remember the exact words, but he basically said, you know, I should be fired for malpractice if I don't basically very forcefully tell you I think that this penalty does not remotely fit the offense. So it wasn't like he was there saying, okay, let's turn ourselves in and just, you know, no, he was really saying, basically he was the one saying we should probably fight more. Or maybe that's the way it comes across. So the whole thing, as I've said about this all along, every time another chapter seems to come out, I understand it less than what happened before. And the bad thing is you can say, well, what do you keep talking about them? Because it's not yesterday's news. It's today's news. They're in court today. And the NCAA is still going to have something to say about what goes on with Louisville going forward. And frankly, Louisville is still going to have to, you know, when it's something like this, as a fan even, you should be concerned because it could cost them a whole jackload of money. And if it does, you know, you wonder about how they just can't slough that off. So, I mean, all of these things are relevant. And unfortunately, I'm not as optimistic as Bob Hughes, but he was a trustee of the chairman. He was the chairman of the board of trustees. He certainly is much more hands-on than I was or I am, and a whole hell of a lot closer to it. So if he's convinced everything's going to come out, I can only say I hope he's right, because I'm convinced no matter how painful and disgusting it is, the truth in the big picture is always easier to navigate than trying to create a false narrative and manipulate and manage and lie and spin and twist your way to get to this, your goal. So let's get the discussion to this point over here. But it's not going to go there naturally, because in our heart of hearts, we know that's not the truth. So we got to nudge it here and bend it there and shape it here. You know what? How much more disgusting can it be in strippers and hookers? So let's get the information out, get it done, put it in the rearview mirror, and get the hell on with our lives. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, you know, I understand your point, and I'll respectfully disagree. Literally no Louisville fan cares about this anymore. It's summer radio topic. No, I'll disagree with you. I mean, if that were the case, they wouldn't be 100 reporters that were waiting at the federal courthouse downtown. So we'll have to disagree. You don't want to talk about it. That's what people do. I don't care. Let me rephrase that for you. I wish this would go away. I'm a Louisville fan, so I don't want to talk about it anymore. Fair enough. But it is a story, and it's out there, and it is going to have ramifications, because you have to wonder if and how this factors into what the NCAA does going forward.
So, not to mention the fact there's 40 million reasons to kind of be paying attention.
It's unbelievable. No, I understand this, sir. Texter says, whether you get a $200 crackhead to have sex with recruits or a $2,000 call girl, you're still paying women to have sex with recruits. That's probably why the money didn't matter here. I'm not disputing that that's what the NCAA's allegation is. But what I'm saying is the guy's discussion just underscores the fact that they basically don't have any don't have any hard and fast rules for what's going to be a level one or a level two or level three. If they just feel like this is really offensive, and it was offensive, but you don't think the other stuff was offensive? I mean, that's okay, in other words? So, in other words, that kind of rule breaking, this is not confusing. Somebody once said a long time ago, the NCAA was trying, and I understand this, was trying to separate the T-shirts from the T-birds, meaning, if you're giving a kid a T-shirt, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And he came to campus and you gave him a bunch of garb, you're not supposed to do that. But you don't want to be throwing those guys in jail the same way schools were giving kids Thunderbirds cars, okay? So I get that. So what I'm suggesting here is you're right that the fact that it's not a lot of money doesn't mean it's not a major infraction. What the argument is, and a legitimate one, is I think when you got a guy on tape saying – it's a strong-ass offer, and anybody who's got a more common sense than a rutabaga would know he's talking about paying the player. This is a coach, not for every person who's given these coaches an out. Well, it wasn't a coach. Well, it wasn't a school. Well, it was the shoe company. You know, fine. Which, by the way, are collectively pretty absurd, but okay, like I always do, let me grant you your argument. Here's one that is, by the NCAA's own admission, a very serious allegation. Okay, so it's not a separating a T-shirt from a T-bird. This is a T-bird to a T-bird. And the argument is, so you got one here that they were so adamant to make it a level three, and the other one which, and then, well, we don't have subpoena power, we don't have this, we don't have that. That's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Goody Two-Shoes Jurich should have denied the allegations instead of trying to follow the rules. Listen, I'm not suggesting he was not a guy that didn't try to follow the rules. He certainly did. But I don't know that it's a matter of being Goody Two-Shoes. I think he was being what he thought was a prudent businessman, because I did too at the time, which was, gee, how are we going to make this hurt us the least amount? And the way that's going to hurt us the least amount was to stand up there and say, yeah, we made mistakes here and we've taken action. We fired people. We're doing this. We're suspending people. We're not going to the postseason, all that. So the fact that it was also could be celebrated as a school trying to do the right thing is a nice thing. I'm not minimizing that. That's a really good thing. But the fact of the matter is, it was also at the time, it seemed to be good business, because the only reason I have to say it that way is because if you only say, well, he did it only because we were trying to do the right thing. If you say now, I think you should fight, does that mean, oh, so what you're saying is now we're going to try and do the wrong thing? No. What I'm saying is, you know, that was a prudent business decision on paper. It appeared it might make it so your penalties were less severe. It is a nice, right thing to do. Now, I got to tell you, it's the same thing. I don't think this means you're a bad guy or a villainous guy who don't care about the rules. You got to just say to yourself, this punishment no longer fits the crime for the people that are involved here. But it's a very difficult, and that's why I respectfully disagree with the rate with the last texter, because the fact of the matter is, is it relevant? Yes, it's relevant, because the fact of the matter is, until you can get all of that information neatly tucked into bed, it still hovers over your program. It's time to move on. So okay, there we go. Perfect. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you for sending this to underscore the irrationality of the fan base. I love this. The reporters downtown today are serving the interest of UK and not neutral fans, not us. Yeah, UofL fans are so very much done with this. Okay, good. Like I said, I want to be done with it too. I'm fairly certain, I don't know, Tim Sullivan's not a UK fan. Oh, you kidding me? He hates UofL. He's no. I know. All right, well, let's say he does. He doesn't, but okay, let's say he does. All those other reporters down there are UK fans. You nailed it. Thank you for explaining that to me. I didn't understand that. I thought these were professional reporters, but I didn't realize when the thing is over today, they're going in their room and they're going to get undressed and sit buck naked watching old UK tapes on their TV, because they're just going to be all jazz. You got it. Thank you for explaining that. If I'd understood that all the people down there were simply advocating the UK.
Done.
You got it. Thanks, boy. Thank you for explaining that. I really didn't understand that part of it. Holy cow. Unbelievable. This is what the guy says. This is the point I was trying to make about not to throw him under the bus, but just to show you how quick that's why you want to say when put in the room, you're done with this, great. But what I'm telling you is the way you may have neatly compartmentalized it and put it on your shelf. Unfortunately, the facts keep coming out that show maybe not, because the texter says it's interesting that Tom is now seen as more of a central figure in all this, in the reaction to this mess. If I recall at the press conference, Jurich implied the decisions were Ramsey's and Jurich was in support. That's exactly what he said. That's the whole point. And again, what difference does it make? Well, it may not make a difference in and of itself. If all of the other things are factually correct, and all you've got is this one little sliver that is not exactly, you know, in your mind, you don't have it exactly right. You're right. It's completely insignificant. But my contention is this is underscoring to us how little we know of this, and how little we know also has ramifications for what then happens with the NCAA going forward, and what happens, as the end product of this situation with Pitino? Do things come out now that then are detrimental to the school? You could say, well, what could it be? I don't know. Okay. The fact of the matter is you may want it to be gone, but it's a noteworthy story because it's a $40 million lawsuit. The Board of Trustee board chairman says that the only truth will come out if it gets to court. And so you need to say, is it going to get to court, or are they going to reach a settlement today? Everybody, me included, hopes it would just get to a settlement. I'd love to have a settlement. Boom, done, move on. But every time this story comes out, you realize, oh, gee, I didn't know that. Jeez, I didn't know that. Look at all these things we've talked about today. The perception was this is completely not jiving with the facts that are coming out now. So if that's the case, then you don't know what's going to come out that could impact the school going forward. So, yes, you're damn right it's significant. You're damn right you can – football won. We were so happy. That's great. This isn't bad. It's not bad news. It's just it's news, though. It's definitely news. So, you know, that's the point behind bringing this up. That's what's going on today. And, there's no question that whether you like it or not, you know, it's like that when April 15th comes, I don't like it. But you better get your paperwork in order and get your taxes done, because I wish I could just forget that and look at all my salary and how much money I make. Great, good for you, but you're going to have to pay attention to it. You're going to have to pay attention to this if you're a fan, because, yes, it absolutely can impact whether they get another postseason ban going forward. Absolutely. And why do I know that? Because the guy in charge of the NSA basically just told you we can do whatever the hell we want. So whatever information comes out of this, somehow, one of two things. Louisville's either better come out looking good in the NCAA's eyes, or they better send a message, we're fighting. We're throwing down and we're fighting. So, yes, sorry. I know you, gosh, when you moved on from this, good for you. But the fact is, the story still has relevance. But you want to spin forward to today, then, yeah, there is certainly good news. Football team is – what's the matter? Why are you making faces? We'll play this real quick, and just because I don't want to do the whole first segment on it, it's just a couple of minutes. I think we are in a mode, certainly for both football teams now, with Kentucky's quarterback being out, they're going to have to learn what they're going to do with a backup, albeit a very experienced backup in place. And for Louisville, it was a very competitive game against a very good team first game. They won handily, the way you'd want to see them play a non-BCS team. And so we're learning about the team, but so, in all honesty, is the head coach. Because no matter what you see in practice and in preparation, you don't really know until you get on the game field. And I thought this is interesting. Scott Satterfield talking about what he's learned about his team. Here he is.
I like the way we're playing, the energy we're playing with. I like the fight we're playing with. I think that's where it all starts. I think when you do that, then you're going to continue to improve and get better and better. I think we improved from game one to game two. Defensively, the mental errors we cut in half from the first game to the second game, and I think that obviously showed, getting a shutout the way we did. Which was tremendous, particularly, how much they had possessed the ball. I thought that was very impressive for our defense. But and then offensively the same. I mean, we cut down mistakes. We had one turnover, which was, we receiver slipped on that, really, on the fourth down play, so really could have converted that. So I think just an overall better performance. So we got to continue to get better. There's a lot of things we got to get better at and work on, but our guys are continuing to get better every day, and that's all we can ask for, to get better every day. And we're trying to settle in for roles for everybody. We're still – usually in the first three, four games, you're going to do that. There's guys have to find their roles within the team, settle in those roles, and then accept those roles. So we're still trying to settle that out, and we're getting close with that. And I'm talking more of your down-the-line guys maybe trying to find roles on special teams and those type of things.
I really just love what he says. I really do. I mean, it's coach talk to a degree, but every coach gives you coach talk. But there's some substance in that too. And more importantly, when you watch the team and you hear the players speak, it's obvious that there's a consistency. The actions are in complete harmony with his words, which is, he talked about effort. What's the first thing he said he liked about his team? He liked the fact they're playing hard. They're playing with effort. They're playing with a spirit. When you are trying to change a culture, it's very important you try and get everybody involved. And he's talking about that, trying to find roles for guys. Talking about guys down the road, down the line a little bit. Football does give you an opportunity to do that in ways that some other sports, basketball doesn't necessarily. A special team is just somebody, so you feel like you've got your niche. You're invested. You take ownership of what's going on with the team. I'm sure many of you have seen the video. I know that Vince Tyree sent it out, and it's been retweeted. It's got a million likes. It was him in his post-game comments. I always take that with a bit of a grain of salt, I have to be honest with you, because, having been in winning locker rooms, it's pretty popular if you're a fan of that team. The players are all happy, and they're singing, and they're yelling, and the coach is funny, and he's upbeat, and the message is generally one it's easy to get your head around. But again, it's very consistent with what he has said elsewhere, which is, everything we talk about in that room is to get you guys successful, and we want to make this a habit. He's talked about that, creating a winning culture, and even in that moment of after victory, he's reemphasized that. All of the things that he says are like a wonderful tapestry that every time I hear him speak, weaves, blends beautifully with the comments I've heard him make in a different context. And I watch the actions of how he interacts with his team, and they seem consistent. So you're putting this little tapestry together. That's what you do when you're trying to build a program. He comes across as understated and likable, and that's a pretty good combination for any man, and for this football coach in this market at this time. Couldn't be better. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll ask Keith the ramifications of what this this trial really means today. By the way, we're going to move the V-Stakes from Mondays to Tuesdays during football because on Mondays we've got both coaches have press conferences. So it's a lot. And all of a sudden, just in the middle of that, you know, now we've got to shoehorn a horse race in there. The press conferences can take up to an hour themselves. I mean, not each one, but collectively. So it seems like Tuesday's a better day to do that, actually. So we'll do that. Today, we'll give you a chance. We had fun doing the show parlay one.
I was just about
day.
To say,
it was really cool.
I think I messaged, almost positive, I messaged the winner.
And he never got back to you?
He never got back to me. Yeah. So, I mean, what a fabulous prize, my man.
Yeah, it is a fabulous
prize. I don't remember his number. I'd give him a shout out. But
all right, well, yeah. Maybe he'll go check his text and say, oh, that was from you, Nick. Okay, I didn't realize that. Or maybe he just doesn't want the prize. Maybe he's afraid he'll change his tax situation.
Mm. Fair.
Never know about that. Stick around. Glad you're with us here on this Tuesday on the V Show on ESPN 680 105.7.
Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right. Demonstrate your knowledge to the people in your car and tell them you know what that theme is. Tick, 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 tick. Yes, yes. It's for one of the great crime courtroom dramas of all time, Perry Mason. And we do that because Keith Pointer is going to join us in a moment, our legal analyst. Talk a little bit about the ramifications of what's going on in the federal courthouse here in Louisville today. By the way, the Sagarins from the Leans, what a day. Six winners, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right? It had the Raiders leaning, too, and they won. It had the Texans getting seven, and they covered. The Sagarin ratings were – and these were all just Leans. These was not even star games. I just realized that, Nick. Did you see that? Sagarin ratings – were 3, 4, 5, 6. Let me see. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7-1 gets the spread. 7-1. That's pretty damned amazing for the first week.
We should probably start putting
Titans.
Money on these.
It took the Titans getting 5.5
then
and they won
stop
outright.
One,
the Ravens getting 4 and they won outright. Took the Skins. Did the Eagles beat them by more than 10? That might have been the one we lost. I don't remember. But it said get 10. Did the Eagles beat them by more than 10? I can't remember. The Rams and the Panthers. Oh, no. The Skins covered. It was the Rams and the Panthers. That was not a game we took. I'm sorry. It had the Bengals over the Seahawks. Got that right. Had the Cowboys lay in the 7.5. Had that right. Had the Cardinals getting 2.5. That finished in a tie, so they won. Had the Texans getting 7 and they won. Had the Raiders getting points and they won outright. So we lost one game. They picked 8 games and the Sags are 7-1. That's the way to start your year. Speaking of that way to start your year, it would be good news if we could get all this damn mess completely put behind us. I don't understand what you're talking about. This guy's just sending me a nasty text that I don't understand what he's trying to insult me. I don't have time to read it, so I will tell you I'm offended, sir. You got your – I didn't – I'm not, but that's obviously what you were shooting for, so I don't want to –
Do you want me to respond?
No, I don't understand. He's trying to say, when are you going to go to law school so you can be an informed sport talk show host? And maybe he's just saying that, meaning that maybe he wasn't trying to insult me. So if you wanted me to be insulted, sir, I will be. But if you just meant you've got to talk so much legal stuff going on, okay, then maybe that's what you meant. That's the problem with text. You don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the honest to God. I'm not just being polite.
Oh, did you read it? You think that's what he was trying to say?
Yeah, no,
okay.
Just
right,
based
sorry,
on how it was,
then.
Yeah.
I apologize. I apologize to you. I was not offended. Yes, by the way, U of L announced the tickets for the Jimmy V Classic. Are they for both games? Yes, they are. It's a doubleheader. It's a great doubleheader. You'll have a good time. All right, Keith, thanks for being with us. You know, the Louisville fans would love to not have to talk about this anymore, and I'm not, you know, gleefully talking about it myself, but am I wrong in saying that, you know, you do have to pay attention to it, right? Because, I mean, there's still ongoing stuff going on at the university. And if this thing goes to trial, you're going to get some information probably that's going to come out that we haven't heard yet, based on the fact that every time another story comes out, I read and go, well, that's different than what I thought. That's different than what I thought. And those things could impact the university going forward, especially since we see the NCAA can choose to take any or all of these little nuggets on their own and either weave them into a giant mountain or turn them into a molehill. So, I mean, let's start with that. There's still import in what's transpiring, is there not?
There absolutely is, Bob. There is reason for everybody to want to resolve this case. Well, there's at least reason for the university to want to resolve the case. I don't know how much motivation Coach Pitino has with respect to the settlement conference, but yeah, the university has got an interest in putting the litigation behind them and trying to keep as much information out of the public specter as they can. So, I don't know that they have $40 million worth of motivation to do that, but I think that they would be, you know, wise to try to get the case resolved.
Okay, well, go ahead. I was going to ask you. Well, let me ask you this first, and then you can finish what your thought was, because it may weave into what I was going to ask you. That was going to lead into my second question. Does either side have more of a motivation for a settlement? How motivated is the school for a settlement, in your opinion?
Well, I think the school would like, you know, one of the things that we tell clients all the time when we go to mediation or settlement conferences, things like that, is that there is peace in finality. And, you know what you get when you reach an agreed upon settlement. Now, the standard line that I have whenever we're talking about settlement is this, you know, the definition of settling means you're not getting what you want. You know, the university has to come out feeling like they paid too much. And the coach has to come out feeling like he didn't get enough. And right. That's how you know that you've got a true settlement. I tell people all the time, my wife wanted someone who looked like Tom Cruise. She settled for me. You know, it's serviceable. It's just not what she had on her hope chest as a little girl. So, you know, that's kind of how you look at it in this situation. I think the university would be in a really much better spot to put that chapter of this saga behind them, deal with what's obviously coming down the pike vis-a-vis the Brian Bowen NCAA issues that we know are going to be coming. And then, and only then, can you really finally move on from this entire messy episode that spans the last 5 or 6 years. For Coach Pitino, if in fact the only thing you're willing to settle for is what they're not willing to give you, then, you know, you're not going to resolve this case today. And so each side has to come to mediation or has to come to settlement conference with the idea that we're going to either pay a little bit more than we thought we wanted to, or we're going to take a little bit less than we thought we wanted to. And you have to be malleable as the process goes.
I'm wondering, I mean, Rick is human and I know he likes money, but I'm wondering, there's a part of me that half wonders if he wants to go to court. Because he had seemingly wanted to fight this from the start, the thought that, at first, I think he wanted to fight it with the thought that if I could just get the story out there, people will see I really didn't know anything about this and I'll help clear my name. But right now, A, I think the reality is people are going to believe what they believe for the most part. He may, you know, persuade 5% of the people or something, but I don't know if it's worth it. And the other part of it is the ship may have sailed for that. So in other words, maybe he, like you, would like to say, let me just get my money and see what I can piece together here from the what's in front of me for the rest of my life. I don't know. If he were your client, what would you advise him?
Well, I think everyone has a different perspective. You know, when you're dealing with clients and money truly isn't the issue, then it becomes a principal thing, and those cases are harder to settle because, you know, look, Rick Pitino has been run through the mill with respect to his public image, whether that's by his own doing or just a conspiracy of the universe to thwart him at every opportunity, who knows? But, you know, all the bad news about we assume that all of the bad news about Coach Pitino is out in the public, and therefore he has very little to lose by airing all of this dirty laundry. I mean, the show cause is probably going to come for him regardless, you know. And so if he can spin it and get his day in court and you know, have a jury of his peers rule in his favor, or at least make a really good argument of why he believes what he believes, then, you know, that might be something for his ego. And, you know him better than I. There's at least a public perception that, his ego is a driving factor in a lot of his decisions. If he were my client, I would tell him that in any opportunity to mediate a case or to settle a case, if the offer is reasonable, then you're in a better position to resolve it. That doesn't mean that, now, if the university came out and said, we're not going to pay you anything no matter what, or we're going to pay you some small amount of money, then you don't settle those cases. But when the settlement, the value of the settlement gets into a reasonable area, then you have to start talking about it. And so, yeah, I would encourage Rick to probably look at the idea of settling the case, albeit, because there are risks for him. I mean, I have been on your show and other shows and said, if you can't fire Rick Pitino for cause, who the hell can you fire? I mean, when you look at all of the things that transpired, over the course of his tenure, there's a really compelling case there. But, the university, the reason that they would pay him anything is to just keep, is just to move along. So it'll be very curious to see what happens today. I was intrigued by reviewing some of Coach Pitino's comments going into the settlement conference. He says, I don't expect anything to come of it, but I will go into it with a positive attitude. Well, that by definition is not, you don't expect anything to come of it. So you don't have a positive attitude. Yeah, so
that's true.
That's
I love him to death, but that's like one of our post game comments. It would be like, I really expect the worst, but I'm optimistic. I'm not sure I understand that, but let me ask you this. Keith Pointer's with us. Last thing, we're almost at the top of the hour, but you saw what came out. The judge wouldn't allow the NCAA to have information that, in New York. I'm curious twofold. One, what does that do to the NCAA going forward in your mind, and much more importantly to the people around here? What do you think that does for Louisville? Because as it turns out now, they may throw the bag of hammers at Louisville again, and if Louisville's one of the only teams that comes out of this with any kind of penalties, I would be very listen, if I'm Louisville, I'm fighting that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, no, I think Louisville needs to prepare for the fact that all of the information that came out at trial is already part of the record, and the NCAA has access to that. I think the rest of the stuff, all of the wiretaps and the evidence that we have heard about, or at least we think we know about, that didn't come out, that they're not going to have official access to, I think that that's going to obviously impede their ability to investigate those programs. And they can still investigate them, but they won't have the weight of that evidence, at their disposal, like they do for U of L. So, if in fact the NCAA is as upset as I envision that they will be, then I don't expect anything less than Louisville getting hit just absolutely broadside over the head with a bag of hammers on it. And the good thing for the NCAA is if you do that to Louisville, and only to Louisville, or Louisville and maybe NC State,
right?
Yeah. So you hit Louisville and NC State, no one will care about that. I mean, globally, no one. I mean, yeah, it'll be felt in Louisville and it'll be felt in Raleigh, but it won't be, it won't be a thing across the country. Now, if you go after Duke and Kentucky and Arizona and all the Kansas. Nike schools and on, then the NCAA's got an issue trying to manage that. So I envision that they're going to get tough. They're going to show their anger. And I said before the banners came down that I thought the banners were coming down, and I'm going to say now that I envision that there's not many scenarios where Louisville won't see another postseason ban at some point in the
future. You think they'll fight it?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that is so concerning as a Louisville fan is, the fact that Chuck Smert's still advising, and how are they going to handle this disciplinary action going forward? I think you'll know a lot when the notice of allegations comes out, what Louisville's procedural posture is with respect to their answer. To me, we've gone the way of the swan dive onto the sword, in an effort to try and get some sort of leniency or clemency from the NCAA, and that didn't work well at all. I can't envision a scenario where you would advise them to do that again, but I couldn't have envisioned a scenario where Chuck Smart would have still been on payroll after the last debacle.
Yeah, but again, though, if you read what went on today, I mean, it's not like he was not the one that was asking them to fall on their sword. It was Tom. I mean, so he was saying, listen, he said, I would be fired for malpractice if I didn't tell you that I think that these punishments don't remotely fit the crime. He was willing to fight a little bit, it sounds like. I mean, I'm not trying to defend the guy. I wouldn't know him if he walked in here. But I'm just saying, how do we know? It's very convenient for fans to hate on him, but I don't know that it's really all in his lap. Do we know that?
Well, you know, I don't know, and I'm not privy to all of the the things that have been reported today. I will admit that I haven't read that article yet, but I think that everyone just sort of had the idea that, you know, they hired this guy who had been involved with enforcement for a long period of time, and that he was giving the marching orders of, or at least the counsel. You know, as attorneys, we don't make the decisions. We get to wear it's kind of like coaching. We get to wear the losses,
right,
you know,
right.
And we don't necessarily get to claim too much credit for the wins. But the reality of it is you hire a guy who's big in enforcement, you cop to everything, and then you get absolutely destroyed in a manner that was unprecedented. So you would think that by its very nature would kind of eliminate you from being in the room when we're going to have those conversations again. But, you know, obviously, not to denigrate Chuck Smart, I'm sure he's been around a long time and knows a lot about all of these different issues. I just, if I'm 0-1 and the one that I lost was as big as the one he lost, we wouldn't do it again.
Mm, right.
You know, we would go a different direction.
No, I agree. I was surprised when I heard he was, you know, in this last round that came up and his name was, he was in the discussion again. I was, you know, to me, those are not incompatible statements. You could say, listen, he's getting too much of the blame for what transpired. Okay, fair enough. New thought. But going forward, we're having another guy with us. We're going with a different guy. It's kind of like Rick. You could say, I don't think he really knew anything about what went on with the strippers. I really don't. But I can understand why they felt their change in leadership was necessary. So it's kind of the same deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're at the top of the hour, buddy. It's good to talk. It's good seeing you down there on 4th Street, even though we didn't get a chance to chat. So
absolutely.
You're looking all healthy and everything.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to work on that, but it's good to see you as well.
All right, buddy, take care. Keith Pointer with us, top of the hour. We'll come back, ESPN 680, 105.7.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680. WHBE Newburgh and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfurt.
Louisville football looks to stay winning on Saturday.